Today, as we celebrate what is known as Gaudete Sunday, a word which means rejoice, but it is not just a statement, it's a command. In that form, Gaudete would actually have an exclamation point at the end of it. And it comes from what St. Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I say it again, rejoice. And so we heard in the second reading from his letter to the, from the first letter to the Thessalonians, that again he says the same thing, to rejoice always and to pray without ceasing. Now we look into our lives and we say, there is a lot in my life that is not cause for rejoicing. Maybe there are some things that are really bad going on in your life. Maybe there are some things that are really difficult. St. Paul says that in all circumstances, we are to give thanks to the Lord. And again, it's not just that he's giving us that as a recommendation. He says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So rejoice, pray, and give thanks in all circumstances. Do we do that? It's hard for us to be able to see any cause for rejoicing sometimes. But perhaps the reason why we aren't able to see that is because our prayer isn't where it belongs. Sometimes when things get difficult, we stop praying. If God's going to allow these bad things to happen, I'm not going to pray. Dumbest thing we can do. That's when we need the prayers the most. But you see, the devil's pretty shrewd, because when things are going really well, sometimes we think, well, I don't need to pray. Things are going really well. And so then when things don't go well, then we get angry and we quit praying because things aren't going very well. So see, he's got us coming and going. We just need to learn from St. Paul. Pray always. No matter what the circumstances, we need to pray. And if we're praying, then we can begin to see what God is doing. All of us, maybe the kids here don't have enough experience with this yet, but the rest of us have had plenty of experience to know that God brings good out of evil. You can look back at some of those really horrible things that have happened in your life. And I can guarantee you, you wouldn't wish those things to happen to your kids. And yet at the same time, you wouldn't, with a lot of those things, you wouldn't ever want to forget the lessons you've learned. It's a good thing that you went through them, sometimes you will think, because look at all the good that came from it. Look at the wisdom that comes from going through those things. Look at how God has purified me by going through those things, whatever it might be. And so it's only initially by looking back at some of these things that we can see the good. But once that's happened a few times, then maybe we can see the pattern. We can know that when there are these difficult things that happen, that God is going to bring about a greater good from them. And so we can already begin to rejoice. We can already begin to give thanks. It's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? But that's because it's not something that's just natural. It's a Christian virtue. That's why St. Paul would say, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if that's his will for us, again, each one of us needs to ask ourselves, am I doing this? If I know, because it says right there in Scripture, this is God's will for you. How often do we even go to prayer and say, Lord, I don't know what you want. What is your will? There it is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances give thanks. Well, I don't like that. Let me try again. Lord, what's your will for me? Because I don't know. Yeah, we do know. It's right there. Maybe it's not quite what we wanted to hear. But remember, God wants you to be a saint. Isn't this what we find in the lives of the saints? They rejoice, they pray, they give thanks to God. They even learn to rejoice in the midst of the difficulties because they see the good that God brings out of it, as we mentioned a minute ago. They can give thanks to God because they recognize that He is making them saints. In fact, if you read some of the saints, when things are going well, which is when people like you and me tend to rejoice, it's like, praise the Lord, things are going really well. The saints go to prayer and they say, Lord, did I offend you for some reason that everything is going so easily? Did I offend you that you're not testing me, that you're not giving me any opportunity to grow in patience and to help me in these things? See, that's the difference between a saint and the rest of us. They see things from a whole different perspective. St. Paul is seeing things from a very different perspective. He had already been through all kinds of things. Remember, he tells us that in 2 Corinthians. He was beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and all the different things that happened to him. He was thrown into prison how many times? He was persecuted how often? And through it all, he learned that he has to pray, he has to rejoice, and he has to give thanks. He is simply telling the Christian people what he himself had learned. So it's a great thing for us to be able to look at. And we can ask ourselves, well, once again, why would I be rejoicing? Look at the mess in the world. Look at what's happening. Look at what's happening to the economy, my paycheck. We can hardly afford food anymore. We can't hardly do anything. What's going on? What that does is it makes us more dependent on God, doesn't it? If we can't depend on the money, maybe we have to depend on God. Guess what? That's the case. We ought to rejoice. We ought to give thanks. And we need to pray. Because that's what's most important, is that we draw closer to God. The Lord tells us in the first reading that the Messiah was sent to bring glad tidings to the poor. So he came to tell us the good news, the salvation that is ours. He came to heal the brokenhearted. The love of Christ can be in our hearts. The grace of Christ can be there and heal us. Came to proclaim liberty to captives and release to the prisoners. Yeah, it's pretty obvious on the natural level what that means, but how many of us are prisoners to our sins? We're captive, we're slaves to our own sinfulness, to whatever it is, whatever vice is there. He came to bring us the grace to be able to overcome sin in our life and to live truly holy lives, to be able to announce a year of favor from the Lord. A year of grace. Again, there's cause for rejoicing here. When we begin to see things from a spiritual perspective, then we can rejoice. If we only see them on the natural level, now there's not a whole lot of cause for rejoicing out there. There's a lot of really ugly, bad things going on. That's why we have to look beyond the natural level and see it from the spiritual perspective. What is it that God is doing? Because once again, just as we heard in the gospel reading, St. John the Baptist tells us that there is one among you whom you do not recognize. You and I should be able to recognize him He's right there. He's in the tabernacle. He's right over next door in the Adoration Chapel. And he's there 24 hours a day for us. How often do we come to talk to him? How often do we open our hearts, pour out our hearts? If we're brokenhearted, open your heart and tell him. How is he going to be able to heal it if we don't allow him in? How is he going to break the fetters that hold us bound if we aren't willing to come and ask him? See, he's right there with us, but even though we ought to recognize him, and we do, we forget that he's there. And yet at the same time, Isaiah talks about what God does for us. He's clothed me in a robe of salvation and wrapped me in a mantle of justice. That's you and me. We have the salvation in Christ. We have the righteousness, the justice that Jesus himself brings. And he himself is the one who wraps us in this. And still, sometimes we don't even recognize it. Even though it's enveloping us, we still don't notice it. Because again, the only way you can see this is with spiritual eyes. We have to learn to look at it that way. And the only way we're going to be able to see things with spiritual eyes is if we are praying. By that, as I've told you many times, I'm not talking about saying a few prayers. I'm talking about spending the time with Jesus. That's what's most important. Then if we can come before the Lord, even if we're brokenhearted, even if we're held captive by our sins, even if we are in whatever trouble, we can cry our eyes out, we can pour our hearts out, and then we can rejoice, and we can be thankful, because we're beginning to see with different eyes, not just what's on the natural level, but what's on the spiritual level. So St. John the Baptist came to give testimony to the light. The light is in our midst. Remember, St. John said the light came into the darkness. The darkness was not able to overcome it. So in the midst of the darkness around us, in the midst of the darkness within us, the light of Christ is shining. But again, we have to ask ourselves, do we see it? How can we rejoice in the light if we can't even see the light? Because he's right there. But he's hidden from us. On the natural level. On the natural level, all we can do is see the external appearances of the bread. But we know that that bread has been changed, and it is Jesus. So we can't see him with our natural eyes. We can't feel him. We can't hear him with our senses. And yet, when we can place ourselves before him and we can quiet our interior, then we can hear him. Then we can see him. Then we can be united with him. That's when we begin to recognize that we're not abandoned, even when we're brokenhearted, even when we're hurting. He is with us all the way through it. It didn't just happen to us alone, because he is right there within us. He's helping us. He's the one who's wrapped us in that mantle, and we will be able to recognize that if we are spending that time with him. That's the cause for rejoicing, because we know that we have been saved, and because we know that all things work together for good for those who believe. If God is trying to make you a saint, and then we recognize that that's what he's trying to do, then there's cause for rejoicing. That's what this is all about. So isn't it interesting that here in the darkest time of the year, just a couple of days away from the darkest day of the year, the church is telling us to rejoice. In the midst of a penitential season, the church is telling us to rejoice. Once again, totally contrary to what is natural. But what are we going to be celebrating just next week? God became man, born of a virgin, totally contrary to what is natural. Could anybody see Jesus 2,000 years ago as God with their natural eyes? No. There was something deeper that they had to be able to see. All they could see was his humanity, just as all we can see today looks like a piece of bread. But he was God. The little baby in Our Lady's womb was God. The little baby who was born and laid in a manger was God. When on Epiphany we listened to what happened as the three wise men came, they came looking for a human king. And it's interesting what it says when they found the baby. It says they prostrated themselves and they worshiped him. They worshiped him. They saw something beyond what their natural eyes could see. Because all you could see with their natural eyes was a baby. But they recognized he was God. Do we recognize that? Are we seeking union with him? Are we trying to conform ourselves to him? Are we cooperating as he's trying to make us into saints? Because if we are, then this light is going to continue to shine in the darkness. It will be a cause for rejoicing. The salvation which our Lord brought to us in the midst of all the sinfulness of the world is cause for rejoicing. The fact that he is making saints in a time like ours is cause for rejoicing. These things can only be seen and understood if we pray. And if we are steeped in prayer, then we are going to be filled with gratitude at what God is doing. And when we see what God is doing in our lives and in the world, way beyond what is natural, then there is cause for rejoicing. Then we can do exactly what St. Paul learned in the midst of all of his suffering. And we can do exactly what he told us is the will of God for us, that is to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances to give thanks.